The following is excerpts from the Episcopal ordination of Anthony Basil Taylor as the seventh bishop of the Diocese of Little Rock, June 5, 2008, at the Statehouse Convention Center in Little Rock. The recording begins with comments made by Diocesan Administrator Monsignor J. Gaston Hebert. This recording is copyright 2008 Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved.
Archbishop Belton, the faithful of the Diocese of Little Rock have eagerly awaited a new shepherd for 2 years. Like dry, weary land without water, and no one has been more thirsty than I. With great joy, we received the news from Archbishop Sombi, who has graced us with his presence today, that His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI has appointed Bishop-elect Anthony Basil Taylor as the answer to our prayers. On this truly historic day, I am honored to lift up the voices of the Catholic people of Arkansas, asking you to ordain Anthony Basil Taylor as the seventh bishop of the Diocese of Little Rock.
Have you a mandate from the Apostolic See?
We have.
Let it be read, then.
Your Excellency, Archbishop Beltran, Metropolitan of Oklahoma City and Principal Consecrator, Your Excellencies, Bishop Sarten and Slattery, Co-Consecrators, Your Excellency, Bishop-elect Taylor, Your Excellency, Bishop Emeritus MacDonald, my brother archbishops and bishops, dear priests, deacons, religious and lay faithful of the Diocese of Little Rock, dear friends in Christ. This afternoon, in the presence of this assembly, Father Anthony Basil Taylor will be ordained to the fullness of the priesthood and solemnly installed as the seventh bishop of Little Rock. At this moment, so important for Father Taylor and for this beloved community of faith, let us go back in time to the 7th and 8th century to listen to the wise exhortation of Saint Boniface, Bishop and Martyr, whose feast the Church commemorates today. I quote, "In her voyage across the ocean of the world, the Church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. Let us be careful shepherds, watching over Christ's flock. Let us preach the whole of God's plan to the powerful and to the humble, to the rich and to poor, to men of every rank and age, as far as God gives us the strength in season and out of season." Bishop-elect Taylor, we are confident that as you yourself strive each day to live a Christ-centered life and faithfully teach and govern and sanctify in imitation of the one good shepherd, you will fulfill the mandate of Boniface and as His Holiness Pope Benedict XVI recently said to the American bishops, help people establish and nurture that living relationship with Christ Jesus, our hope. We offer you our heartfelt congratulations and promise you our prayerful support. On this occasion, we thank His Excellency Bishop James Peter Sartain, now Bishop of Joliet, for his years of dedicated ministry as this local church ordinary. And likewise, we offer our congratulations to Monsignor Gaston Hébert for his valued service as diocesan administrator during this interim period. And now, I will read for you an English translation of the apostolic letter by which our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, appointed Father Anthony Taylor, 7th Bishop of Little Rock. Benedict, Bishop, servant of the servants of God, to the beloved son Anthony Basil Taylor, presbyter of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and until now Episcopal vicar there for ministries, and pastor of Sacred Heart Parish, appointed Bishop of Little Rock, greetings and apostolic blessing. It is our responsibility as a supreme shepherd of the Church to assign to the individual diocese ordinaries who are, in undertaking the episcopal office, equipped with every good work. For this reason, we judge you, beloved son, as one who is suitable to be entrusted to the governance of the Cathedral Church of Little Rock, which is vacant owing to the appointment of the Venerable Brother James Peter Sartain as Bishop of Joliet in Illinois. Therefore, accepting the opinion of the Congregation for Bishops, we, by virtue of the apostolic authority, appoint you Bishop of Little Rock, together with all the rights and obligations. You may receive ordination outside the city of Rome from any Catholic bishop, the liturgical laws being observed. Prior to this, however, you will make the profession of the Catholic faith and take the oath of fidelity toward us and our successor in accordance with the code of canon law. Moreover, we mandate that you inform your clergy and your people about this letter, and we exhort them to receive you warmly and to remain in union with you. Finally, beloved son, as you are about to begin the important episcopal ministry with the Virgin Mary interceding, we implore for you the gifts of the Paraclete Spirit and propose for your meditation this word of St. Cyprian. See that you observe either constant prayer or reading. Speak with God. Let God now speak with you. Let Him instruct in His precepts. Let Him dispose you in them. May His peace always be with you and with the ecclesial community of Little Rock, which is so very dear to us. Given at Rome, at St. Peter's, on the 10th day of April, in the year of the Lord 2008, the third of our pontificate, Pope Benedict XVI.
with all these microphones here, I have a choice. I think I'm going to just try this one that's on me, and it might work best of all. I hope everyone can hear. For we have gathered together with great faith and confidence and joy today. And it is a great joy then for me to greet all of you in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are several among us here, however, that I wish to acknowledge personally and publicly. First of all, the Most Reverend Pietro Sambi, the Apostolic Nuncio to the United States. Archbishop Sambi, I am so pleased that you are able to be here with us today. As the personal representative of the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, you confirm us in our Catholic faith. By your presence here, you ratify our realization that this diocese and this province are not individual entities in themselves, but we are all a part of the universal Catholic Church. We are all members of the body of Christ. Thank you, Archbishop Sambi, for being with us here today. I also wish to express again my congratulations and gratitude to Basil and Rachel Taylor. Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, we are most grateful, for it was you who, by cooperating with the plan of God, gave life to your son Anthony and to your other children. We thank you, and God bless you. Bishop Andrew MacDonald, you are the senior former bishop of Little Rock. You have served the church faithfully for 60 years. That's 6-0. Bishop MacDonald, first you were a very active and effective priest in Savannah, Georgia. Then in 1972, you were ordained Bishop of Little Rock. Here for 28 years, you faithfully and enthusiastically and joyfully served this diocese as a true shepherd and pastor. Upon your retirement some 8 years ago, you did not withdraw from ministering to God's people. Even now, you serve as chaplain for the residents in one of the homes of the Little Sisters of the Poor in the Archdiocese of Chicago. We are honored and delighted with your presence here today. Bishop J. Peter Sarton, you are the junior former Bishop of Little Rock. I ordained you here 8 years ago. You served the Diocese of Little Rock very, very well. We are all so pleased to have you in our province. And even though you were only here for a short time, you made a lasting impression. However, I do hope that Bishop Taylor will experience greater stability and longevity. In all sincerity, Thank you, Bishop Sarton, for all your great service to the church in Memphis and Joliet, but especially here in Little Rock, Arkansas. Again, I also wish to thank Monsignor Hébert for the good and faithful service he has rendered to you. Monsignor Hébert, you have faithfully, efficiently, and joyfully served the Church of Arkansas throughout your entire priesthood. When you were elected administrator, you accepted what you thought would be a short term, an interim duty. And yet, as the months added up to years, you never complained and never faltered. You have been an outstanding administrator, and we are truly grateful to you. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in early April, Pope Benedict XVI made an apostolic visit to our beloved country. The White House was one of his stops. Following his visit there, a reporter interviewing the president said, "It seemed, Mr. President, that you were looking directly into the eyes of the Holy Father." And the president answered, "Yes, indeed, I was." And the reporter asked, "What did you see?" The president answered with one word, "God." What a marvelous response that was. That was a tremendous, marvelous response, a great affirmation. And what a tribute to the Pope, who is indeed the Vicar of Christ. Like the Pope, each bishop is a member of the College of Bishops. And the College of Bishops, working with the Holy Father in collaboration with him and under his direction, govern the church. Like the Supreme Pontiff, every bishop is ordained to reflect Jesus. Bishops, when they reflect Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, bring people to know, love, and serve God. When bishops reflect Jesus, they encourage and lead the faithful to a deeper relationship with God. As bishops reflect Jesus, they strengthen those who are weak in faith. They welcome the non-believers, and they proclaim the good news for all people. While Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, a bishop is a mortal man living in a particular moment of time. The bishop's principal role is to make known to his contemporaries this one and only true God. This is indeed a formidable task. In fact, it is an impossible one for a human being to accomplish. But with God, all things are possible. And not only possible, but joyful and fulfilling. In his divine, inscrutable plan, the Lord God has called you, Bishop Taylor, to be a shepherd of the people of this diocese in Arkansas. He is appointing you a successor of his apostles with the same assurance that he gave them, "I will be with you always." As a man of faith, sacrifice, and prayer, rely on the Lord God always, for He will never abandon you. In fact, Bishop Taylor, I can show you right now how the good Lord is already working for you and blessing you and helping you. He is not sending you to a barren desert, but to a well-cultivated field. The faith was planted here many generations ago. It has been nurtured and cultivated under the watchful care of the six bishops who preceded you. You do not come here to a desolate situation. You come here to a community with a rich history of faith and a living tradition of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Catholic people of the Diocese of Little Rock and all residents of the state of Arkansas, I know you welcome your new bishop with great enthusiasm. I know that you will pray and work and collaborate with him. But I would also like to show him at this time your willingness to be an active contributor to the good work he is committed to as Bishop of Little Rock. Bishop Taylor, I want you to look, because here are some of the many people waiting anxiously to help you. And at this time, I ask the priests of Arkansas, please stand. Priests of Arkansas. And let's hold the clap. Hold the applause, please. Priests, remain standing, and the rest that I call also stand. So now we want the vowed religious men and women and ordained deacons to stand. The group enlarges. Catechists and religion teachers and instructors, please stand. Catholic school teachers, please stand. Diocesan and parish staff, please stand. Parish nurses, health care workers, chaplains, and all involved in child care or senior services. Extraordinary communion ministers, lectors, servers, cantors, and choir members. Members of parish and diocesan councils, finance committees, and volunteers, ecumenical leaders and civic representatives, Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre and Knights of Columbus. Archbishop Taylor, I think about the only ones still seated are the Oklahoma people. But we too do support you, Oklahomans, stand. Bishop Taylor, you can see that you're not in this alone. You are the representative of the church. You are the successor to the apostles. You are the leader and shepherd of all these people who wish to collaborate and pray with you and work with you so that this diocese will continue to be an active part of the universal church. Bishop Taylor, in this large facility where we are gathered, many of the people are looking at you from some distance because it's such a large room. But all of us here are confident and hopeful that in the days and the years ahead, as we see your example, and as we join in your work, like the president of this country looking into the eyes of the Pope, we too shall see God. And so, Bishop Taylor, we promise you our prayers and our support as you now prepare for this ordination. May the good Lord bless you now and always. The ancient rule of the Holy Fathers ordains that a bishop elect is to be questioned in the presence of the people on his resolve to uphold the faith and to discharge his duty. And so, dear brother, do you resolve, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, to discharge until death the office entrusted to us by the apostles, which we are about to pass on to you by the laying on of our hands?
I do.
Do you resolve to preach the gospel of Christ with constancy and fidelity?
I do.
Do you resolve to guard the deposit of faith entire and incorrupt as handed down by the apostles and preserved in the church everywhere and at all times?
I do.
Do you resolve to build up the body of Christ, his church, and to remain in the unity of that body, together with the order of bishops, under the authority of the successor of St. Peter the Apostle?
I do.
Do you resolve to render obedience faithfully to the successor of the blessed Apostle Peter?
I do.
Do you resolve to guide the holy people of God in the way of salvation as a devoted father and sustain them with the help of your fellow ministers, the priests and deacons?
I do.
Do you resolve for the sake of the Lord's name to be welcoming and merciful to the poor, to strangers, and to all those who are in need?
I do.
Do you resolve as a good shepherd to seek out the sheep who stray and gather them into the Lord's fold?
I do.
Do you resolve to pray without ceasing to Almighty God for the holy people and to carry out the office of high priest without reproach?
I do, with the help of God.
May God, who has begun the good work in you, bring it to fulfillment.
Amen.
Congregation, please stand.
Dearly beloved, let us pray that the kindness of Almighty God in providing for the welfare of the church will grant an abundance of his grace for this chosen one.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Mother of God,
pray for us.
Saint Michael,
pray for us.
Holy angels of God,
pray for us.
Holy Rachel,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul, Andrew,
pray for us.
Saint John,
pray for us.
Saint Mary Magdalene,
pray for us.
Saint Stephen,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Lawrence,
pray for us.
Saints Perpetua and Felicity,
pray for us.
Saint Agnes,
pray for us.
Saint Gregory,
pray for us.
Saint Monica,
pray for us.
Saint Augustine,
pray for us.
Saint Athanasius,
pray for us.
Saint Basil,
pray for us.
Saint Cecilia,
pray for us.
Saint Saint Martin,
pray for us.
Saint Benedict,
pray for us.
Saint Emil,
pray for us.
Saints Francis and Dominic,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
Saint Francis Xavier,
pray for us.
Saint John Vianney,
pray for us.
Saint Eusebius,
pray for us.
Saint Leo,
pray for us.
Saint Rose of Lima,
pray for us.
Saint Catherine,
pray for us.
Saint Teresa of Avila,
pray for us.
Saint John of the Cross,
pray for us.
Saint Kateri Tekakwita,
pray for us.
Saint Scholastica,
pray for us.
Saint Meinrad,
pray for us.
All holy men and women,
pray for us.
Lord, be merciful.
Lord, save your people
from all evil.
Lord, save your people
from every sin.
Lord, save your people
from everlasting death.
Lord, save your people
by your coming as man.
Lord, save your people
by your death and rising to new life.
Lord, save your people.
By your gift of the Holy Spirit.
Lord, save your people.
Be merciful to us sinners.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Guide and protect your holy church.
Lord,
keep the Pope and all the clergy in faithful service to your church.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bring all peoples together in trust and peace.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Strengthen us in your service.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bless this chosen man.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bless this chosen man and make him holy.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Bless this chosen man, make him holy, and consecrate him for his sacred duties.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Jesus, Son of the living God.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, hear us.
Lord Jesus, hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, hear our prayer.
Graciously hear our petitions, O Lord, and pour out upon this your servant the power of your blessing, flowing from the horn of priestly grace, through Christ our Lord. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of mercies and God of all consolation, who dwell on high and look upon the lowly, who know all things before they come to be, and who laid down observances in your church through the word of your grace, who from the beginning foreordained a nation of the just, born of Abraham, who established rulers and priests and did not leave your sanctuary without ministers, and who from the foundation of the world were pleased to be glorified in those you have chosen. Pour out now upon this chosen one the power which is from you, the spirit of governance, whom you gave to your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the spirit whom he bestowed upon the holy apostles, who established the church in each place as your sanctuary for the glory and unceasing praise of your name. Grant, O Father, knower of all hearts, that this, your servant, whom you have chosen for the office of bishop, may shepherd your holy flock, serving you night and day. May he fulfill before you without reproach the ministry of the high priesthood, so that always gaining your favor, he may offer up the gifts of your holy church. Grant that by the power of the Spirit of the high priesthood, he may have the power to forgive sins according to your command, assign offices according to your decree, and loose every bond according to the power given you to the apostles. May he please you by his meekness and purity of heart, presenting a fragrant offering to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom glory and power and honor are yours, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever and ever.
Amen.
Would the congregation please be seated?
May God, who made you a sharer of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, himself pour out upon you the oil of mystical anointing and make you fruitful with an abundance of spiritual blessings. Receive the gospel and preach the word of God with all patience and sound teaching. Receive this ring, the seal of fidelity, adorned with undefiled faith. Preserve unblemished the bride of God, the Holy Church. Receive the mitre, and may the splendor of holiness shine forth in you, so that when the chief shepherd appears, you may deserve to receive from him an unfading crown of glory. Receive the crozier, the sign of your pastoral office, and keep watch over the whole flock, in which the Holy Spirit has placed you as bishop to govern the Church of God.
Last night at Christ the King, I described Archbishop Sombi's phone call informing me that Pope Benedict XVI had chosen me to be your bishop. And my inner conviction that when the Lord calls, the only answer a faithful servant can give is, "Yes, Lord, I will do whatever you ask. Help me to be faithful." Today, the main thing I feel is gratitude. I feel touched by the confidence in me of all those who have had a secret role in recommending me to the Pope through our papal nuncio. Humbled. But even more moving has been the overwhelmingly affirming response of you, my fellow priests, priests of Arkansas, priests of the other diocese over there in Oklahoma, and of my seminary schoolmates from all over the country. I received letters of congratulations from, I don't know, maybe 100 bishops, lots of them. And I must say that I was deeply touched by the warm reception you, my fellow bishops, gave me when we gathered in Washington 5 days after my appointment to Little Rock was announced. And then also the more than 1,000 cards and letters and emails and phone calls and voicemail messages. I turned the phone on to be 84 messages. From people from all over Arkansas, from my parishioners at Sacred Heart Parish in Oklahoma City, my former parishioners from St. Monica in Edmond and other parishes, from people I grew up with in Ponca City, or who I went to school with in the University of Oklahoma. And members of my extended family from Texas and elsewhere. And now I see many of you here today. People from all over who have taken off work, used up precious vacation time, sacrificed a day's income, paid the cost of transportation, and in many cases overnight lodging, to be with me, with us here today. One relative came from as far away as Guam. And I'm especially grateful to Archbishop Sombi and all the bishops and priests who have taken the time and made the effort to be with us today. In all of you, I have experienced firsthand what St. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12:26. If one of the parts of the body of Christ is honored, all the parts share its joy. For that, too, I feel humbled and grateful. My one request is that you pray for me and for our Diocese of Little Rock, that God will make me a good bishop, holy and wise, faithful to the Lord, whatever the cost. Hablé anoche en la parroquia de Cristo Rey de la llamada del señor arzobispo Sombi para avisarme que el Papa Benedicto XVI me había elegido obispo. y mi convicción interior que cuando nos llame el Señor, la única respuesta posible a un fiel servidor es: sí, Señor, haré todo lo que me pides, hazme fiel. Hoy lo que siento más es gratitud. Me conmueve profundamente la confianza que me tienen todos aquellos que me recomendaron al Papa por medio de nuestro nuncio papal. Pero aún más conmovedor ha sido la respuesta abrumadoramente afirmante y positiva de ustedes, mis hermanos sacerdotes. Ustedes, los sacerdotes de Arkansas, como también los sacerdotes de esa otra diócesis que es Oklahoma, y mis compañeros de seminario de todo el país. Muchos obispos me mandaron cartas para felicitarme, y debo decir que me conmovió mucho la calurosa recepción que me dieron ustedes, mis hermanos obispos, cuando nos reunimos en Washington 5 días para recibir al Santo Padre, 5 días después de la publicación de mi nombramiento a Little Rock. Y luego la más que 1,000 tarjetas y cartas y correos y llamadas y recados en mi buzón de voz. Una vez prendí el celular y había 84 recados, mensajes, de parte de gente de todas partes de Arkansas y también de mis parroquianos de Sagrado Corazón de Oklahoma City y mis antiguos parroquianos de Santa Mónica, de Edmond y de otros lugares, de Sayre, Oklahoma, y también de personas que me conocieron en Ponca City, el pueblo de mi juventud. También amigos, compañeros de escuela de OU. Y ahora veo a muchos de ustedes aquí y pagando también los gastos del viaje, en muchos casos también alojamiento para la noche, para acompañarme hoy. Agradezco de sobremanera al Monseñor Zambi y todos los obispos y sacerdotes que han tomado el tiempo y hecho el esfuerzo para estar con nosotros este día. En ustedes he experimentado hoy de primera mano lo que describe San Pablo en su primera carta a los Corintios 12:26. Si un miembro del cuerpo de Cristo recibe honra, todos los miembros con él se gozan. Y por eso también me siento conmovido y muy agradecido. Lo único que pido es que recen por mí y por nuestra diócesis de Little Rock, que Dios me haga un obispo bueno y santo, sabio, fiel al Señor, cueste lo que cueste. Finally, I'd like also to thank everyone who worked so hard to prepare last night's Vesper service at Christ the King and today's ordination and installation here at the State House Convention Center. All the choirs, Matachines, Lourdes Montgomery, who composed a setting for Psalm 37, especially for last night at the Vesper service, and the hymn Bienaventurados, que we sang at communion time, the Knights of Columbus, Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre, our Masters of Ceremonies. I didn't have to worry about anything. I just go where they tell me. My secretary here in Little Rock, Jan Brass, Archbishop Beltran, Secretary Carol DeVito, countless others. But I owe special thanks to 3 persons in particular: Archbishop Beltran, Monsignor Gus Hebert, and Monsignor Frank Malone. First, Archbishop Beltran, who has been my bishop these last 15 years. Thank you, Archbishop, first of all, for your confidence in me, in giving me the honor of being the founding pastor of St. Monica Parish in Edmond. And for the joy of these last 5 years of being pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Oklahoma City. I think those are the two greatest blessings of my priesthood so far. Thank you for retaining me as your vicar for ministries and giving me the privilege of being your episcopal delegate for the cause of canonization of Father Stan Rother, the Oklahoma priest and martyr whom I admire most for his courageous witness to all of us that a true shepherd cannot run when the wolves threaten his flock. Thank you for your countless handwritten personal notes of encouragement every year on my birthday and my ordination anniversary. You are a faithful shepherd of your priests as well as of your diocese. And I will continue to seek your advice as my mentor as I try to learn how to be a good bishop according to the mind and heart of Jesus and his church. Second, thanks to you, Monsignors Gaston Hebert and Frank Malone, who have worked so hard to prepare for my ordination and installation as your bishop. Monsignor Hebert, for your wise and administration of this diocese during the last 2 years. I know that Bishop Sarton and Bishop McDonald before him are excellent bishops, and they left you the diocese in great shape. But I also know that a lot can happen in 2 years. It's nice to come to a diocese that is one of the plum dioceses of the United States. And thanks to both you and Monsignor Malone for the care with which you have attended to all of the many details that have made this transition so smooth for me and for the Diocese of Little Rock. You're the ones who've made this work. I don't know what I would have done without you. And finally, you, the priests of Arkansas, my priests. There's an old saying I was riding with Archbishop Beltran here on April 10th, I said, you know, I've always heard it said that once you become a bishop, you'll never again have a bad meal or hear the truth. And Archbishop Beltran told me, no, that's not true. You still get bad meals sometimes. What concerns me is that I need to hear the truth from you. And yet I understand that it is sometimes unaccountably hard for a priest to tell a bishop truths that they don't think their bishop really wants to hear. So I got a solution for you. See all these guys from Oklahoma? They're not afraid to tell me anything. In fact, some of them would love to tell a bishop a thing or two. So look at those guys back there and give them a call, and they'll put the word in for sure. You're now my priests. You share in my priesthood, and I'm convinced that together we'll be able to do great things for the Lord, great things for the church, great things for the people of Arkansas, so long as we remain faithful to Jesus and seek to follow His way of truth and life.